eat with Jesus and to see what it means, the message of Easter. And we're going to hear from the Bible in just a moment. Before we do, I'm going to hand over to Stephen.
Brilliant. Just before we have our Bible reading, I just wanted to address one thing and give us one thing to look for in our reading, okay? Jonathan just mentioned Ursula. And it'd be fair to say that we've all, in different ways, and some of the same ways, experienced plenty of death in the recent past. We've had three people in the church family die in quick succession. You'll have your own experiences of family members and loved ones who've died recently. On our news screens, on our social media, we've seen the war in Ukraine, among other atrocities and violence and death across the world. More than I can remember, certainly, this war in Ukraine has brought images of death and of dead bodies to our screens in a particularly new way. All of those things might mean that as we come to celebrate Jesus' resurrection today, it could just feel a little bit jarring. In our reading, when we have it in our story today, we're gonna meet two ladies called Mary, who are on a morning walk, mourning their friend Jesus, who has died. And our song gave it away. I don't think it's a spoiler. Their mourning doesn't last for long. But the end of their mourning, that Easter morning, doesn't spell the end of all of our mourning now. Not yet. But it does mark the beginning of the end of our mourning. And so we can, because death is dead, love has won and Christ has conquered, mourn as those who have hope. Now we're going to come back to that later, but I just wanted to raise that up front. So that's one thing. But here's something to look for in our reading when Linda reads it in a minute. Okay, I want you to look out for two whammo moments. Can you do that with me, okay? Get a big hand up and go, whammo, okay? Now, what's a whammo moment, I hear you ask? Put your hand up if you have an older brother or sister. If you have an older brother or sister, you almost certainly know what a whammo moment is. Just imagine it. You're walking along the hallway, walking through the living room, perfectly at peace and content. Don't know what, you've got your favourite toy, all's well with the world. And then suddenly, whammo! Now you're lying on your back, it hurts a bit. Maybe you had your favourite toy and now somebody else has your favourite toy. Maybe, and this is Teddy's experience quite often, you were asleep in your bed or in your cot and suddenly someone a bit bigger than you is landed on you and you're awake now. Those are examples of whammo moments. Things that take you by surprise, sideswipe you, take you out. And I want you to look out in our reading for two whammo moments. Please don't go whammo when they happen in the reading. We'll do that later. But look out for them, and Linda's going to read for us.
So today's reading is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, and it's on page 1000. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, on page 1000. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them, "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Brilliant. Thanks, Linda. Did you notice the two whammo moments? Let's look at them together. The story opens and Mary, they're on their morning walk. They're mourning the death of their friend Jesus. And they reach the tomb that they'd seen Jesus laid in on Good Friday. And the massive, great, stonking stone that the Romans had put in there to keep the body in there is still there. And then suddenly, whammo! You do it with me? Suddenly, whammo! And that is there in the Greek, I'll tell you. Suddenly, an earthquake. Okay, you're sitting on your seats. Okay, can you get your feet and start stomping on the ground? Okay, we're going to make an earthquake. Make an earthquake. Come on, you can do better than that. Louder. Earthquake. And a massive great angel comes down out of heaven. And the angel rolls away the stone that the Romans had wedged in place. Just rolls it away and sits on it. Easy peasy. Job done. Now, I had thought about asking Jonathan to dress up in his surplice as an angel. Am I not going to? I'll explain why. This is a surplice. This is the white part of a vicar's robes. I thought I might ask Jonathan to wear this. But then I thought there was one problem with that. I hope this isn't unfair or unkind. Put your hand up if you think Jonathan is scary. I'm ignoring them. I didn't think so. And that is a very good thing, to have a vicar who is not scary. But that is not the case with this angel. You can have your surplice back now. That is not the case with this angel. Did you see what happened? The Roman guards, these are Roman soldiers. They've been in wars. These are hardened men. They are absolutely terrified. This angel has a face like lightning, clothes white as snow. And what happens? The Roman guards fall down like they're dead. They fall down like they're dead. The earth shakes. They're shaken. And they fall down like they're dead. Hint, hint. And this isn't even the first time this has happened. If you were here on Friday, if you've read a few verses before, you'll know that on Good Friday, when Jesus died, there was another earthquake. And the Roman soldiers who were there were terrified of that earthquake. Can you go and sit down, please? Didn't want to have to do that. Right. If you look at the screen, you'll see a character you should recognize. Okay, this, can we see a character? This is Skye. This is Skye from Paw Patrol. Skye wears pink and flies a plane. I can see some shaking heads. What's the matter? That's not Skye. How do you know that's not Skye? Who is it? It's Chase. How do you know? It says Chase on it. Oh, dear. How did I not notice that? How did I not notice that? I'll tell you something. Once, a few years ago, before Emmy was born, Nikki and I were in an earthquake. And I'll tell you something. It is noticeable. We were in an airport in Turkey. I was carrying a tray of KFC, so all was well. And suddenly, I thought I was very ill. And I looked up, and I realized it wasn't me. It was the building. And everybody else had noticed as well. There was an earthquake between the coast of Turkey and the island of Kos, and we only felt the very edge of it. It was a big earthquake, as I understand it. But it's very noticeable. I tell you, this is the second earthquake in 3 days in Jerusalem. Do you think people noticed? I think they probably did. We're going to come back to that, the fact that people probably noticed a bit later on. Don't notice that. The guards, they certainly noticed, and they noticed the angel as well. They were afraid. They were terrified. And based on the angel's response, we can assume that Mary and Mary were also pretty scared. But the angel says to them, what does the angel say to them? Do not be There you go. You can see my bad handwriting. Trying to write quickly. Do not be afraid. How can they not be afraid? The Roman soldiers are terrified. So if they're terrified, no one else stands a chance. But do you see why they don't need to be afraid? Because the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. See, the two Roman soldiers, they're laying down like they're dead, but it turns out nobody's dead. The angel says, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified. But he isn't here. He has risen. And the angel says to them, come and see. Come and see. Come and see the place where he laid. They'd seen him laid down in this tomb, dead, on Good Friday. And the angel says, come and see. See, it turns out that the angel didn't roll away the stone to let Jesus out. He was already gone. Instead, the angel rolled away the stone so that Mary and Mary could come and see the place where he lay. Come and see. Come and see. And what did they find? They found that Jesus was gone. The body wasn't there. And at this point, I'm imagining, if you just notice, the two guards who lay down like they were dead, as far as we know, they haven't got back up yet. They're still lying down. And so at this point, I imagine they had a look over and they thought, we had one job, to keep a dead body from moving. I wonder what your worst day at work ever was. But it's not a bad day for Mary and Mary. It's not a bad day for us, because on that day, the one who was crucified, Jesus, became the one who was risen. See, if that earthquake in Good Friday was the earth trembling with sorrow at the death of Jesus, well, this earthquake is the earth leaping for joy at his resurrection. The crucified one is the risen one. The crucified one lives. The thing is, at this point, only Mary and Mary know that Jesus is risen. Only they went. Only they went on Friday to see where he was buried. Only they've come on Sunday to check on the body. So only they know that Jesus is risen. So what does the angel tell them to do next? The angel says, go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell everybody else. Go and tell Jesus' friends, the disciples. He has risen. The tomb is empty. The crucified one lives. And so off they go. They're still a bit afraid. They've been through some scary stuff. There's been an earthquake and an angel. They've seen where they saw their friend, their dead friend laid down. He's not there anymore. So there's still a bit of fear, but now they're filled with joy. Do you see that? In the passage, they're filled with joy and they have good news of great joy to go and tell their friends. And so off they run, if you do some running, off they run to tell their friends, and then suddenly, whammo! Again, suddenly, whammo! What happens? Jesus is there and he says, good morning. And now it's their turn to fall down. They fall down on their faces, they grab his feet and they worship him. They'd heard that he was risen. They'd seen that the tomb was empty. And now they've encountered him for themselves. They've met Jesus and they fall down and they worship him. Everything he said about himself, he's risen now. It shows that it was true. And so they worship him. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We're going to stand and we're going to sing about that together now.
Bible say, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. At Golgotha they crucified Jesus. Between two criminals he hung to die. His scar went off the temple curtain, it was torn in two. It is finished, was his final cry. He's alive, he's alive. It is true what the friends of Jesus say, Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive. Isn't that great? Have a seat. Now, let me try again to talk to you about Skye. There she is with all the characters of Paw Patrol right on the end. And Skye's best friend is Peppa Pig. They love playing together. In every episode of Paw Patrol, Peppa Pig is there. Why is everyone shaking their heads? Is Peppa Pig not in Paw Patrol? They all merge together in the end, don't they? Peppa Pig doesn't belong in Paw Patrol. I've got it wrong again. Do you know what else doesn't belong? People who've died don't belong walking along the street talking to people, do they? People who've died don't belong walking along the street talking to people, but that's exactly what Jesus is doing. Mary and Mary had seen him laid down in the tomb. Now he's standing there talking to them. And you see that detail that they grabbed his feet? They're not imagining him. He's not a ghost. He's really there. Can you try and grab hold of the person next to you? Maybe give them a poke. Make sure they're really there. Make sure they're awake. Jesus is really there. The crucified one really does live. Jesus is risen. And we're going to learn some actions together to help us try and remember that, okay? So do it with me, and then I'm going to get you to stand up and do it together, okay? You can do most of it sitting down. So we go, Jesus died to take away my sins. But 1, 2, 3 days later, God raised Jesus up from the dead. Okay, so we're going to stand up because we're all going to jump together when we say up, okay? If you've been in Good News Club in the last few weeks, probably Nikki and I might have done something like this with you already because our kids love it. Okay, so do it together. Jesus died to take away my sins. But 1, 2, 3 days later, God raised Jesus up from the dead. Good, you can have a seat. We're going to do that again, so be prepared. Okay, Jesus is alive. God has raised him up from the dead. And just like the angel, Jesus has some instructions for Mary and Mary. Can you see what they are? You see what they are? We've heard them already. They're two of the same instructions. The first one is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Can you imagine right now the heart rate on these two ladies? Okay, they've been in an earthquake. They've seen an angel come down out of heaven. And now they've seen a man who they saw dead and buried, alive and speaking to them. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. The fact that he is risen is precisely the reason they don't need to be afraid. Jesus' resurrection guarantees everything he said is true. Everything sad will come untrue. And so we don't need to be afraid. What else does Jesus say to them? What's the next thing? He says, go and tell my brothers. Go and tell the disciples. Go and tell people that I am alive. And you know what happened? They did. And something really weird happened. You see, if you read on in verse 11 and onwards, you'll see that the Roman guards do get up eventually, and they go and with their bosses, the Roman Empire, they try and clamp down and cover up the fact that Jesus has been risen. You think it'd be pretty easy for the Roman Empire, the big, brash, bold Roman Empire, to stop two women called Mary walking around telling people that somebody who everyone had seen die was now alive. But they couldn't. You'd think that Matthew writing in his gospel, all these weird things happening, these two earthquakes. If you noticed on Good Friday, that when Jesus died, it says lots of dead people came alive at that point. And then they start walking around Jerusalem. You'd think Matthew writing those things down and writing that Jesus had risen from the dead, if it wasn't true, the Roman Empire could pretty easily have squashed it. If I told you that if after church you go to Sainsbury's and you'll find Jesus standing outside, some of you might believe me and go. But if you did, you'd find that it wasn't true. And Sainsbury's, I think, was shut today anyway, so you'd have wasted all your time. And you wouldn't tell anyone else, and no one else would go. Even if you decided to get in on my lie, eventually people would stop going because they'd realize it wasn't true. But that's not what happened here. Two ladies called Mary go off, start telling people that Jesus, who everyone saw die, is alive. And despite the best efforts of the Roman Empire, that news spreads. And today, 2,000 years later, we're standing here talking about it. Because it's true. Because it's true, it really happened. We just wouldn't be standing here talking about it if it hadn't. No one would have bothered carrying on talking about Jesus. See, earthquakes and angels and dead men rising, they're not normal things. They're noticeable because they don't belong to our everyday experiences. And so when people start talking about them, it's difficult to believe them unless we know it's true. Unless it's really obvious and evident that it really happened. And so that's why we're talking about Jesus today. Over the last few weeks, all of us at Grace Church have been looking at different bits of Jesus' life. In Good News Club, we've been looking at his miracles. And then we spent some few weeks looking at the last week of his life, Palm Sunday through to today. In here, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, some of Jesus' most famous teaching. And the thing is, if Jesus had just died, some of those things might be a bit interesting, but we wouldn't have spent the best part of 3 months looking at them together, coming together on a Sunday morning into this school when there's people out there playing football instead. We wouldn't have been doing that. You see, some of it is interesting. We might have heard about it, but loads of people have done loads of interesting things in the world that we've never heard about. The reason we've heard about and we read about and we look at what Jesus said and did is because Jesus rose from the dead. And that means that the things that he said and did are the most important things anybody has ever said and done. And it means that with the two ladies, Mary, we fall down and worship Jesus. We worship Jesus because he rose from the dead. And that showed that everything he said was true. We won't be able to physically grasp onto his ankles today, but we can grasp hold of Jesus, of the truth that our sins have been taken away and forgiven. Death has been defeated. Everything sad is going to come untrue. We have new life now. And one day we really will no longer mourn. There will be no more death or crying or pain. That is true, because Jesus rose from the dead. Everything that Jesus said and did is stamped and sealed as true and believable because he rose from the dead. And so even while we still mourn, we still experience death, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be scared because Jesus lives. And because Jesus lives, everything he said, all the promises he made, are sealed as true. And as an example of some of those things that he said that we can believe are true because he rose, I'm going to take us right back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which we must have looked at back in January or February. I'm just going to read a few verses from there. And just understand, these things are true because Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus said to his followers, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you who mourn. You'll be comforted. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Those and many other things are true, are real, are the way the world really works, because Jesus rose from the dead. The crucified one lives. The crucified one is the risen one. So we're going to stand together and we're going to do these actions one more time to finish. Okay, you ready? Ready? Jesus died to take away my sins. But 1, 2, 3 days later, God raised Jesus up from the dead. Brilliant. You can do all of that together at lunchtime and through the rest of the day and tomorrow. I'll hand back over to Jonathan.
Well, stay standing, won't you? We're going to sing about Jesus who died for us and who rose again. This is a great song.